Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gets on Herbs is teaming up with Positive Grid to give one lucky listener their very own Spark Smart Amplifier. Visit positivegrid.com/guitar nerds. It's super simple, and you could be the owner of one of the most fun and feature-packed amps I've ever played. Spark is a comprehensive solution for home jamming, learning, and recording through electric, acoustic, or bass. You can play and practice with millions of songs and access to over 10,000 tones, powered by Positive Grid's Bias Tone Engine. Spark features a smart and intuitive range of rotary controls on the amp itself, but really comes to life when used alongside its companion app for iOS or Android. It's so well laid out. Straight out of the box, I was able to tailor my tone with a bunch of amp models and a comprehensive range of effects. There's no learning curve here or complex interface, just tons of tones straight off the bat. I love the Smart Jam feature. Play a looping riff on Spark and the amp and accompanying app work together to learn your riffs, then generate authentic bass and drums to accompany you. Perfect for making just jamming around more interesting and fun. Auto Chords is another banger. Import your music from YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music, and the Spark app will auto-display its guitar chords in real time as you play. Easy controls let you slow down the song's tempo or loop difficult sections as you master playing it. On top of all of this, you can use the Spark as an interface. USB directly into your computer and access all the Spark tones, amp models, and effects for recording. All of this for only $299. Visit positivegrid.com/guitar nerds, enter to win a Spark, and check out all its incredible features. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
And Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Matt. Hi, everybody. Great to be here.
Great.
It is indeed good to be here. Hello, dear listener. Welcome back. Welcome to the 37th episode in Season 2. Of the Guitar Nerds Podcast.
It's a big old season. It's like Friends.
Well, we're nearly there, actually. Nearly over with... I can actually tell you how many episodes there are left. Here we are. Podcast schedule. Right. It looks like... Where are we? We're like September 20th. So this comes out on the 22nd. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... more episodes.
Oh my god,
10 more episodes. Why, where does that take us to?
Well, it takes us to the start of December, and then of course there is the gear of the year 2021 that takes place.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and then we'll be on to season three, gentlemen. Season three.
Shows generally go downhill around season three.
I don't know.
Yeah, but sometimes they pick
up... True Detective saw a return to form.
True Detective did get a lot better in season three.
Oh, I stopped watching after season two.
Oh, season three was good. It was a bit of a change of the format, but it was good. Format night. It was good. I really liked it.
Format night. I like that.
Format night. Yeah. I always think, whenever I say the word format, I always think in my head, oh, Format Night. You're trying out this new format.
Format Night. Night.
So Matt, you've been off the last couple of weeks. You've been away on holiday.
Ah, yes. You know what I did on holiday, Joe?
What?
Nothing. But I also, one thing I did do, actually, to be fair, was convinced Amy that we should rewatch the Matrix trilogy.
Nice.
Because I was like, the first one is a work of art, possibly one of the best films ever. I had that on video and it was amazing. And I was like, I haven't watched the second or third one for quite some time. And I remember them being quite rubbish.
Yeah.
And the second one is quite rubbish. The third one, not so bad.
I remember reading about, what are they called? Revelations?
Reloaded, which is terrible. Just don't call the second one Reloaded. And the third one is Revolutions.
Revolutions?
Yeah, I think it's Revolutions. And I think the
fourth one's Retirement Home.
Retirement Home.
There was, because I remember reading somewhere, I can't remember what it's called, but is it like a supercut? Is that what it is? There was I read a really good article a little while ago about like re-edited movies and like fan edits of movies and stuff. And there was a fan edit of Reloaded and Revolutions that someone did where they combined them into one movie. And apparently it's like, oh, it's actually a really good movie. I've never seen it, but I read about it in some article at one point.
There's a lot of blubber, and it's also quite confusing. Like, you can tell that it's sort of like tagged on.
Yeah.
The one thing I haven't watched, didn't watch, which you should do, because actually some of the stories included are better than both of those, which is the Animatrix, which were the five short movies, the animated movies they made. They tell you a bit more of the lore of the place. But actually, just watching the first one again, I was like, this film's so good. It basically hasn't aged. It's just the only bits are like, you know, when they're sat in front of a computer and you're like, computers don't look like that anymore. And then obviously when he pulls out a flip phone, you're like,
yeah, I mean, there are and some of the CGI is like, oh.
No, do you know what? The first one looks all right. The second one suffered from that really weird point in the early 2000s where things were too computer generated.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. The first one, they were like, they clearly had to do a lot of it practically. Apart from the bullet time, which still looks good. But the second and third one, they've obviously gone, oh, computers are the best. And then they've just like, they've overused the computer. And then talking about it made me remember there's a picture on the internet, to bring this background to guitars, of Keanu Reeves has a Matrix bass. And yeah. It's him holding, I can't even remember what brand it is.
It's like a headless thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's a Jackson Custom Shop bass.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. That has just got the Matrix code, the iconic Matrix code across the front of it, which Easter egg is the designer of one of the set. I think it's like one of the designers, art directors. He was like, oh, you know what looks cool? Japanese kanji. Scanned his wife's cookbook and then reversed half of the letters. And that's what the majority of the Matrix code is. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a sushi cookbook in reverse. So yeah, had a holiday. Didn't do a lot, but did watch the Matrix trilogy and would highly recommend.
Oh, you did watch all three?
Oh, I did watch all three. Yeah, absolutely. across 3 days as well, you know. So yeah, one a day, wow. You know, keep it that. Just preparing for the fourth one, which will be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I think it's for the first time ever, it feels like Hollywood is finally in tune with what people want, and that's more Keanu Reeves, you know?
Absolutely. I mean,
he seems like just an absolutely wicked geezer. And, you know, yeah. I'm all for it. I think it'll be good.
I mean, he has been in some of the best movies of all time. Of course, including Point Break, which is probably my second favourite film of all time.
Behind what?
Speed.
Behind Speed, yeah. And then The Matrix. And then Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. But yeah, all-round nice guy and bass player, Keanu Reeves. Although I haven't seen Bill and Ted, the most recent one, but I hear it's terrible.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
But I would quite like to see him play live. What was his band called? Something?
Dog.
I want to say Dogstar. Dogstar.
Yeah. Was Dogstar it?
Really?
I think that's it. Yeah. I think so. Who knows? Someone Google it.
Dogstar Band. Dogstar was an American alternative rock group active in the mid-90s to early 2000s that found moderate success but garnered significant media attention due to the fact the band's bassist was Keanu Reeves.
were they actually good then?
I've not listened.
I might listen to them after this whilst I'm editing this podcast. I'll listen to some Dogstar.
I think their first record was called Quattro Formaggi. Oh. Wow. Start out with a little pizza. Keanu Reeves.
So
crazy.
So this week I got a new plugin that Matt, I think you should definitely try out. I'm tailing this back into guitars.
It's all right, we've had our moment of fun.
We've had our fun. Fun to work now, everyone.
Yeah, I'll just start talking now and you guys can be silent. But yeah, anyway, so we're doing this thing at the moment with Isotope and also with Plugin Boutique. They're one of our sponsors at the moment. Dan Pilver from Isotope has been a long-time listener and a really good friend of the podcast. And you know, he introduced me years ago now to Isotope plugins, which are what we've always used to edit the podcast. They're how I clear up like Matt's terrible audio where he always has fans on in the background and stuff. They're how I deal with the shrillness of you know, Jay's top end. So they are really good plugins. The whole thing with Isotope is, Matt, like, you know, we used them when we were building songs together, and the whole idea with Isotope is you don't need any skill level. Like I don't have to think about it. I can play Isotope, you guys talking, and Isotope goes, oh yeah, you should do this, you know, and EQs it, compresses it, does everything else, which is very, very helpful. It means it can do it all for you. But anyway, so they're doing this thing with Plugin Boutique, who, of course, Matt, you and I have both downloaded. I have downloaded a significant amount of plugins from Plugin Boutique. PluginBoutique.com, dear listener, you should definitely check it out. But anyway, they're doing this Guitar Essential Bundle, which is a great idea, where they've mixed up, or they're putting together Soft Tubes Amp Room with the Isotope Essential Suite, and you know, reducing it a bunch. And the whole idea is that it's like a suite of stuff that means that you can record guitar music without needing anything else, obviously excluding the drum kit or whatever. But it means you can record all your guitar tones with the Amp Room, and then you can mix and master it all with the Isotope Essential Suite. So I was recording like the ad for them this week, and I was like, oh, I want to do a backing track for it, and wouldn't it be cool if I did the backing track using only Amp Room, so I can say in the ad, oh, this is, you know, this is all the Amp Room stuff. And I had an absolutely fantastic time using Amp Room. It's really, really good. So it's like you've got amps, you've got pedals, you've got cab sims, but you've got a whole bunch of stuff. Whereas, like, you know, Neural DSP deals with artist style stuff. Amp Room deals with like more rigs. So you've got like an AC30 style thing, a high watt, an Ampeg SVT. There's like a Mesa Boogie, there's a black fronted and a silver fronted Fender style thing, some Engels, and a Marshall JCM 800, and they are officially partnered with Marshall JCM 800, so they can also do some of the Marshall pedals like the Governor and things like that, which is very, very cool.
The Edward on there.
The Edward.
the classic compressor.
Unfortunately not. They've
got EDI-1. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they've got a very good... The Jet Town compressor is their compressor. Actually, I really liked it. I thought it was fantastic for like really sucky, as in sucking the sound over the top compression, which I really liked in my bass. But yeah, I recorded this little punk rock sort of backing for it. I did it all. I was like, oh yeah, I was sort of doing it in the middle of the day. I had other stuff to do afterwards. And I just grabbed a guitar that was next to me, which was the Trent, the Model 1, which we've spoken about over the last couple of weeks, which we've got at the moment. And it was absolutely, absolutely banging. Like it was so effortless for me to just lay down, you know, like a handful of rhythm tracks and some lead tracks. It was handy that I had kind of Mark Packham to talk to about this, because I've not really done too much punk pop stuff myself. I don't really know what the punk pop setup is, other than like Jay, you and Mark banging on about JCMs the whole time. So I've never liked the sound of Marshalls, but actually for this application, for like a punk pop sound, a JCM 800 just with a 412 sound, I didn't even use anything else. It's just, I mean, that. It sounds great.
Are teaming up with Music Nomad. Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 40 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help guitars look, sound, and play their best. After 2 years of research and development, and in a collaboration with top guitar repair shops, Music Nomad has developed the Keep It Simple setup. They demystified the guitar setup process by developing innovative precision gauges and tools combined with step-by-step general guidelines anybody can follow and set up their guitar to play and sound great. With their KISS method and their gauges, you can check the vital areas of your guitar and use their toolkits to perform your own setups. They have a 24-page instructional booklet available in 7 languages, downloadable for free, loads of how-to videos, as well as complete setup video tutorials for popular brands such as Fender, Gibson, Taylor, PRS, and more. Not only is it fun, but a properly set up guitar takes your playing and sound to a whole new level. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com. Follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare and kiss your guitar with Music Nomad's Keep It Simple setup.
Being in a punk band is really not rocket science, you know.
No, sure. I just didn't know what to choose for it, and I thought, oh, that would be the thing. And then just for some different flavor, I used the AC30 for like some octave chord things, because I know like Tom DeLonge used to use AC30s a bit, so I figured that would be another appropriate amp. But it was good. Added like enough of a different flavor. But you know, I thought the guitar was absolutely fantastic. I popped a picture of it up in the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook, and people were like going wild for the Trent. It does look really lovely. It's a very, very nice guitar for sub a grand. Sounded great. I was on the bridge pickup for the whole lot, as I guess you would be for a punk pop thing. But it's really good. Amp, like the Trent guitar was just easy and it sounded good, you know, doing anything. Amp room was just easy and it sounded good. I got the whole thing done in like half an hour, and I was like, oh, this was no effort at all. The only problem was actually when I came to lay down the bass, which I did last, and I realized all the basses I have here are set up in D standard.
Capo, mate.
Yeah, you could do something like that, but there's still like punk pop requires like quite a, you want it to have that sort of fizzy, poppy, bouncy string sound. And when you've got those thick, heavy cables that I've got, and you don't get that same resonance. And even if I'd just played higher up the board or whatever, it sounds different. And so I was trying to think, like, what do I have? What do I have that's actually standard tuning? I have my little Snapdragon foldable bass. So
is that what you use?
That's what I used. And it sounded great. And I was like, yep. I mean, that was just using the SVT plugin. Because again, punk rock's so simple. I just timed sort of the gain on it and the treble. And cut out a bunch of the mids, used that little Snapdragon, and it was great. Honestly, Emma keeps catching me like listening back to that ad I've recorded, and I'm like sort of secretly, well, I actually quite like this. This is one of the best things I've recorded. It's just this little punk rock ditty. But yeah, I had it's so good, so easy. I had the best time doing it, and like, you know, Nate Nagel had mentioned in the group, he'd said, oh, you should, because I'd said in the post, oh, I just had such a good time doing this. And he was like, oh, you should upload the song to Patreon so everyone can hear. So, of course, you'll hear it on the ad on this episode, dear listener. But obviously, I'll be talking over it. So, you know, you can go and, if you're on our Patreon, which you can join obviously for as little as a dollar a month, you can go and listen to it. And it got me thinking. I was like, this is actually, Patreon's a great place for me to put sound samples of stuff, because whenever I'm getting this gear, essentially I am, you know, plugging it in, working out, you know, making weird noises with it and doing all that stuff. And I was like, ah, I should do sound samples of everything we got.
It is really funny just thinking about what you said there about, like, oh yeah, you know, I spent a couple of hours putting together this song, and I mean, you're not going to be able to hear it really because I'll be talking over it. And like, you know, you really do work harder, not smarter, don't you? Like, you drag yourself through hell and high water when, you know, just because you just bloody love it. It's just absolutely, you know, good on you. Good on you, Joe Branton.
Yeah, I could have just got a little backing track. I could have just downloaded a backing track from one of the stock sites that I subscribe to, but, you know. But it was actually fun.
Isn't that just like the Random Heroes Spotify page?
yeah, exactly that, yeah. Yeah, Mark sent us some of the instrumentals from his upcoming Random Heroes records, and I'm tempted to...
put them in?
Well, yeah, to just... he just sort of sent them so they wouldn't be
He sent them to our, like, signal group?
Yeah, something like that. So I couldn't lift them like that. Listen. But I was thinking...
I heard the song that Mark wrote in 2002, and I've been listening to it ever since, and that's fine.
I was thinking about transcribing it and recording it again as like, a guitar nerd's thing, and never mentioning it to Mark.
Well, because he doesn't listen.
Playing it to him. No, but...
It'll only be like 7th fret, 9th fret, 3rd fret, 1st fret, back to the 7th fret, you know.
No, open. It won't go
open.
First
oh,
fret,
of course. Open, yeah. So, yeah, should be pretty easy to transcribe, I would have thought.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, you know, dear listener, check it out. I think Softy Band Room's really, really good. I had a great time, just for simple, obvious sounds.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You know, for making regular guitar stuff. Because, Matt, we found this, like, so many... It was kind of what made us really like the Corey Wong Neural DSP plugin, was that so many plugins for guitar amps are metal or, you know, that modern sound. It's so hard to find something that's not that.
Yeah, and I don't know, there's... Yeah, I guess because people always think that maybe gain is the easiest thing to do because... covers up all the mistakes. And yeah, to get into to get a really warm, clean sound is quite difficult as well, because you're hearing it through monitors rather than like a bigger speaker with a big magnet on it, I guess.
Yeah.
That's why a PV Bandit always sounds good. But
but also, isn't it just, you know, supply and demand? Because the metal dudes were really the ones who kind of gravitated towards this sort of technology before anyone else.
I completely agree. I think that's absolutely the case, is that up until now, I think the sort of direct recording and sort of home recording, like, you know, in that sort of way, is something that's been dominated by modern players and metal style players. I do think it's changing now. I think more people are getting, you know, are getting into home recording without having to use a real amp, and things like Katana, things like the Fender Tone Masters. You know, those are things that have made it more viable as people are getting more used to the idea that you don't have to have valves to sound
a quite unquote real amp. Yeah, and yeah. No, and I think you're completely right, and I think that it all kind of started with Helix. You know, the Helix was just so good that
People would argue Fractal, but I agree that Helix brought it to the masses.
In terms of the mainstream, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In terms of, because the Fractal stuff was not always there, but you know that had been around for a while. But that was only being used by like techie metal people, yeah. And then all of a sudden the Line 6, the Helix came out, and I think it did. I think you know that really found its footing in like the worship scene in the US. And it kind of legitimized digital modeling, and that has, you know, only gone from strength to strength with stuff like the Tone Masters and now the like, you know, downloading your own IRs and everything. It is kind of a bit more, you know, every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I want to see now is more of the kind of crazy effects plugins that people are using on synths in guitar pedals. I think people need to take guitar pedals to the next step. I was having a look at some of the stuff that's included with, we were talking very briefly before we started about potentially thinking about switching DAWs to Ableton Live 11, because I want to work in a slightly more... Well, they have a thing called Session View, which is like you work in clips, like small loops to like arrange compositions. And some of they've added a bunch of new effects to their latest version, Live 11, that are all inspired by nature. And they're
I like that a lot.
Jay, I know you'd be into this, because they have one called Tree Tone, which is grow different fractal patterns inspired by plants and then use them as resonators for internally generated noise or incoming audio. I mean
that sounds absolutely incredible.
If someone handed me a pedal and went, yeah, this is the Tree Tone, basically I've used plants as inspiration for some noise generators inside to affect your incoming audio, I'd just be like, yeah, I'll buy them all. And I just think we've got to start going the other way now, because I think people are going to start using this stuff and then go, how can I use that live? And I mean, they're all forms on the basic effects, I guess, in some ways. But there was another one called Vector Delay. So it's a center, like a sun, with little planets that revolve around it. And each one of those revolutions is an individual delay line. And depending on how and where they cross paths changes the delay time. So you get this almost, it's almost like the revolutions of the planet around the sun.
Yeah. So it's like gravity is affecting the speed of, gravity is like affecting the speed of the delays and everything.
Indeed.
What? That is amazing.
Yes.
That is so cool. I'm absolutely so into that.
Yeah. And they've also added, which I think is... not necessarily, this isn't inspired by nature, and this is a new thing, but it's not been a thing you could easily get your hands on. They've added a spectral time plugin, and that turns sound into images or vice versa. So basically you feed audio into it and it puts it into like, it basically turns into like a blurry image of like colours. But one of the most famous uses of that is at the end of, most people will know the song Window Licker by Aphex Twin, which is that kind of really glitchy. That was his like first foray into like doing something less ambient. And it's like a really weird noise, like right at the end. And if you played that into this spectral plugin, like a really old one, it basically brought up an image of his face.
Okay.
And
this
does like a very similar thing. So it allows you to feed audio into it, into kind of like a spectral image, which you can then also then change, which will then alter the output of the audio. And I'm like,
so basically what you're saying here is I could play my aura.
Yeah, like basically,
you could release your face as an
yeah,
album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you can get a snapshot of your of your chakras and stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be so funny.
I guess, just thinking out loud, I guess the only way to really do something like that, well, you could do it in real time with an audio interface and if you're sat in a studio, but if you wanted to try and do it live, I guess you would have to have something like the Orange Omek Teleport, which is a little pedal that's an audio interface, and then have a laptop on stage. And I'm like, surely someone must be able to pull the algorithm out of the computer and basically build a computer in a box, which I guess was kind of what that Mod Duo was. The Mod Duo devices was like supposed to be like a set of plugins in a guitar pedal. I just don't think anyone's done it like packaged well enough, I guess, if you know what I mean. Like, in something
it's
that's
tricky.
Just going.
Yeah. Plugin Boutique and iZotope have hooked up to offer you, dear listener, an absolutely banging deal. They've combined SoftCube's App Room plugin suite of amps, effects, and cabs with iZotope's Element suite of mixing, fixing, and mastering tools. All for £80, or $94 US or €94. That's £217 less than if you were to purchase the plugins individually. The idea behind the bundle is to provide you with everything you need for at-home studio-based guitar production, including amp simulators, multiple effects units, and high-quality mixing and mastering tools. Pretty much exactly what every guitar nerd needs. Now, iZotope plugins have been friends of the podcast for many years. You're listening to the production quality of iZotope's Nectar, RX, and Ozone every time you listen to an episode of Guitar Nerds. Their Element Suite offers assistive technology to cut down the guesswork and required expertise to get release quality recordings. And SoftTube's Amp Room offers a really comprehensive range of bass and guitar amps, cabs, and effects. In fact, that's what you're listening to right now. Go check out this incredible bundle at Plugin Boutique. com or follow links in the description of this podcast. I like the idea of it being very, very open source and there being more pedals that are brought, you know, essentially with that.
Yeah, I guess the Zoya is sort of one step towards that.
Yeah.
I think the problem with the Zoya is that you have to
steep learning curve.
Yeah, you just got to like dedicate yourself to it, and it's like I don't mind deep diving, but even that was like, like you kind of got to like basically just download someone else's sounds and go, that's cool, I'll never change it. But yeah, I kind of feel that might be like a next step. You know, talking a lot about plugins, Joe, and bringing that sound to a pedal board or to a unit that you might use live, you know, that to me feels like kind of like a next step. In some ways. You know, imagine taking everything, your entire DAW setup, as it were, you know, everything that Amp Room gives you and all the effects, but putting it in a pedal that you can play around with.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can do something like that by using things like the Omek Teleport and a laptop, but you know, there is still, and I would still have that fear of bringing, I don't want to bring a laptop, I want my board to be an isolated separate thing.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I hope we are moving towards something like that. I'd love to see something like that that could kind of do the job of a computer but be a separate thing on my board so that I can choose what effects I have from plugins and kind of then you can sort of build and create your own multi-effects from, you know.
But isn't that, at that point,
aren't you just using a Helix?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the thing is with those multi-effects is they're still... It's like the Matrix, right? They're in the Matrix. It's not all about
the Matrix.
No, but you know, it's so locked down into like choruses and delays and reverbs. And I'm like, but I want more than that. I want to take the red pill. I want to know what's on the other side. Show me through the rabbit hole. Morpheus, where is my real multi effects? What's in the real world? I don't know. I guess it's because in some ways, there's no money in it. Like, if you've gone, I've made this tree tone, delay pedal that's like a spectral resonator in a compact, people would be like, cool, bro. And then you'll like sell some, but not loads. Whereas like you can go, oh, you can do all of this stuff sort of in a multi-effects, but it's not quite as cool. You're like, eh, yeah, I'll do that.
So what you're saying is we need like another kind of cypherpunk revolution where people, instead of like, you know, trying to create the blockchain, start trying to create pedals with for like no monetary recompense,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I like the idea of like dragging someone being out like an open source, like you say, Joe, like an open source multi-effects, which I guess is what the Modular is, but
it's what the Modular was, yeah.
Maybe just not executed to, well, maybe just people like didn't really care about it. Maybe I'm the only one that cares about it.
Maybe you don't care enough.
Maybe I don't care enough. Maybe that's it. But yeah, no, I definitely think there's time for some more wacky and weird stuff.
So speaking of hidden effects, I went to my band lockup last week, and
what's the address?
Well, I hooked up with my guitarist Tim because we were rebuilding his pedal board because he had some noise on his board and he wanted to change out a couple of pedals, so we were doing that, and we ran short of power cables for his MXR DC brick. But, you know, I know it in the lockup we have like a massive crate of spares and stuff. And every time we go out on tour, we move the essentials into a little box to take with us. But I know we have a load of old stuff in this big crate. So I thought we'll go down and have a rummage through that and see what we can find. And my goodness, it was a crate I hadn't looked in since, you know, maybe 2015, 2016. And it was wonderful. We found three Behringer VB2 vibratos because we just had a few of them because they kept breaking and they were a really essential part of our board back then. We found two Boss PS2s.
Cool. I'll have one of those. Thanks.
Yeah, which is great. And best of all, I found a ZVEX Fuzz Factory.
Which I saw you were playing around with a Fuzz Factory.
No recollection.
I was like, what year is it?
Yeah, I don't remember getting this at all. But Tim was like, oh, yeah, you got it. And we used it on a recording, maybe our first recording for some stuff. And I think maybe we did. And then it went in that box and never got put on a board or used again. So I've got a ZVEX Fuzz Factory, which I brought home, and I've been having a whale of a time with it. What an absolutely fantastic pedal. Why did we ever stop talking about this pedal?
It's like finding a tenner in your jacket pocket, you know. At the beginning
a year after you put your coat back in the... It's like, oh, it's October, I better get the big coat out.
Yeah,
oh, it's 20 quid in here.
Yeah.
Well, there's an old McDonald's hamburger or...
Yeah,
yeah. I bloody love the Fuzz Factory.
It is great. It is great. I wish there was a blend on there, but they did do a bass version, didn't they? And I guess that's probably why this one isn't quite as, rich in the low end enough for me to use it well with a bass. But I love that you've got a gate and a compressor. I don't know what the stab control does. It just sort of made it spikier.
Yeah, I think. So the interest, there was quite a few videos that came out recently because obviously they did the collaboration with Chase Bliss and did the Bliss Factory. And I think he kind of says that those controls basically make no sense in some ways. They sort of like, he had to give them a name. So he sort of like turned and went, oh, this one sort of makes it more compressed and this one sort of makes it more stable. That's basically what stab is, stability.
Right.
But they're so interactive that they just do different things. I think the story goes that he made the Super Hard On. That was the first pedal he made. And then he sold it like three units to a store in New York. And then the next week he went back and he's like, oh, I've sold all those pedals. Like I need, or they'd been selling that particular one for like 6 months. And then the guy was like, oh yeah, I sort of need something different now. Like I've sold all those ones. And he went, oh, what am I going to do? So he basically designed that one overnight. like stayed up all night, like playing around with the circuit.
What, the fuzz factory?
Yeah, yeah. No, he basically had like a fuzz circuit, I think it's basically a fuzz face, messed around with it all night, and then was like in the morning, woke up and was like, oh, what have I done? It's got like five controls on it and it sounds like really weird wherever you turn the knobs. And he was like, I'll have to take it down. Took it to the shop and they went, oh, this is a bit weird, isn't it? And then they sort of like, oh, we'll take one. Or they took two. And then I think Alanis Morissette's guitar player walked into the store like a week later and bought both. And then was like, these are amazing. I need like another one. And then he got pictured. And then one found its way to Matt Bellamy. And then he obviously went and posted in like a guitar mag in like 2001. And then they went from like 10 orders a month to like 1,000.
Wow.
And wow. Yeah, but I think it was kind of like, he didn't.
And then Joe Branton bought them and bought one and nobody, the reputation was ruined.
And then listened to this podcast and they went, oh God, he left it in a box. I think it was kind of just like didn't intend to make that sort of pedal. I think it was just like a fuzz face that went wrong and then he somehow managed to sell it anyway. And then someone found a use for it and everyone went, that's cool, I want one too. And lo and behold, there you have the Fuzz Factory. And I mean, I'd love to know how many they've sold because they've done so many versions. They do a Fat Fuzz Factory. I don't know if they still make a bass one anymore, actually. I think that's like the bassier version, but it's not a bass-specific one. And then they do
They changed the shape. They moved it round, didn't they? Made it conventional.
Yes, so they do the Fuzz...
Because it's long.
Yeah, Fuzz Factory vertical, and then obviously the normal Fuzz Factory, the Fat Fuzz Factory, the Russian Fuzz Factory 7, and I think they did a normal Fuzz Factory 7, but quite often based on components. But yeah, it's a great pedal. A great pedal, but yeah, you kind of have to use it sparingly.
Absolutely. There's a time and a place for it, and that tends to be when no other instruments are playing, because it makes your sound so incredibly compressed and thin that you're not going to be heard over anything.
Yeah, or just put it in a guitar with a MIDI controller, and then you've got it, you know, and then being Muse, I guess, Joe.
Sounds easy enough to me.
But yeah, what a fantastic pedal. And actually, you know, whilst I was when I was over there, we went around Tim's to like build that pedal board, and back when the pandemic started, I got the lockups near Tim's in Brighton. Obviously I'm quite away from it, so I messaged Tim and I was like, could you go, and as you know, as we're obviously not going to be gigging a while, can you go and get my bases out of lockup and just put them in your house, just because, you know, it's cold in the lockup and I don't want them getting ruined. And of course that's now whatever, like 2 years ago. And so we went around his and I was like, oh, I was going to reset up like this old Inca Silver Squire Classic Vibe jazz bass that I have. And he was like, yeah, all your bases are here. And I was, the Inca Silver Squire's not here. It's not there. So we went down to lockup, and of course he'd missed it, and it was still in its case in the lockup where it had been for 2 years through two winters. And you know, I took it out and the strings were rusted. The control plate, oddly enough, on the Classic Vibe is nickel, so that had all gone all, you know when it goes all nickel, gets all furry almost. You know what I mean?
It gets a little oxidized.
Yeah, it oxidized. And then the brass
is the term that you're looking for.
Yeah, furry. Furry.
Yeah, it went all furry.
The bridge had done the same, and the brass saddles had gone very green.
Yeah. Do you know what that's called?
No.
That's called oxidizing.
Right. Okay. So there were furry bits and green bits.
Right.
And,
okay.
I took it back.
That sounds like a regular afternoon for you, isn't it?
I had my whole kit, and I was like, God, this is gonna be bad. It's gonna be wrecked. Neck still looked good, you know, still straight. Action still fine. Plugged it in, still works. Still fired up. Absolutely, you know, everything. All the controls worked. Everything was great. Popped a new set of strings on there. I did not even need to set it up, and I was like, this sounds absolutely fantastic. I can't believe how good this bass sounds. And I took later that night, I took it to practice and played it. And it was fun. And I think all the trouble I have with all the various basses that I get, all the constant setting up I'm doing, and this 350 quid classic vibe Inca Silver 60s jazz bass just took 2 years in the freezing cold. Absolutely, totally fine. What an incredible testament to the instrument. But now I'm just like, yeah, I just want to play this now. It's proven to me that, you know, it is an instrument that can withstand anything. I mean, that's, you know, the last time I used it, I threw the bass over my head and it landed into the drum kit. It ripped a big chunk of wood out of sort of the top lower bout bit of it. So there's a big chunk out of it and knocked one of the tuners off, which I've duct taped back on. And that, you know, it's still fine. All the ridiculous guitars I have, all the money I spend on things, it's banging.
Unbelievable. Did I see that you posted up, you were trying to change the pickguard on it?
That's right, yeah. I was choosing between this. I had Indra Guitars make this rather lovely acid-etched black plate with like polymath logos and impossible shapes all over it. I had a torque guard and I had the mint guard.
What was the original?
I was so annoyed when people kept commenting and saying white. I was like, it's not white, it's mint. Someone even said parchment. I was like, it's not parchment, it's mint. It's clearly mint. But anyway, yes.
Clearly. What did it originally come with?
Mint was the original.
The white one.
God damn it. Yes, that one. But yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one, Inca Silver. Bit of a weird, like, weird colour to try and match...
Yeah.
Match up with, do you know what I mean? Like, it's because for me, I thought the white one looked better as well.
Yeah.
But the I understand why you tried to go for the torque guard, but I just
the torque guard didn't quite work.
No. I think it's the same with those kind of metallic colors, is you've just got to go a little bit more conservative.
Yeah, exactly. I actually went with none of those choices in the end, and instead, I purchased a black jazz bass plate and I just put just a plain black one.
He hadn't spent any money in about 45 minutes, so
well, the Indra one I love, but it's like, it's so flamboyant that on anything other than a black bass it looks a bit too much to me,
right?
The torque guard, as we agreed, just didn't sit right,
and it was just a little bit not quite there.
I did love the mint, but, you know, I'm obsessed with, you know, how my band all wear black suits. I'm obsessed with that, like, us all looking black right. Boots. And they, like, you know, our guitarist has got a Silver Burst guitar now. And I was like, well, if I get a black plate on the Inca Silver, then that kind of matches. So that's what
I did. Yeah, no, it's smart.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But Squire Jazz Basses, you can't beat them. Indestructible instruments. Yeah.
Two years. It was cold and frozen and scared, and then it was like, oh god, now I've got to be played by Joe Branton. Put me back in the lockup.
put me back. I want to go back.
Yes, well, it's rather good. Anyway, we're actually going to be seeing each other soon, hopefully.
Are we?
In the flesh. Well, hopefully, J Cross, because, you know, I mentioned this again on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. Dear listener, join the Guitar Nerds Facebook group if you're not already a member, to be kept abreast of all the Guitar Nerds things. But one of the things I did mention was Ashdown, who I've been running the marketing for the last year or so. Ashdown have hired a pop-up shop. They're going to have a pop-up shop on Denmark Street in London. Denmark Street, to listeners who maybe possibly don't know, Denmark Street is the most famous street in London for guitar shops and music shops, instrument shops in general, absolutely lined with, you know, all these incredible cool sort of vintage shops with some of the most amazing weird old stuff, you know, cool collectible relic gear. It's where famous people go to shop for, you know, the next super expensive auctioned guitar after they've touched it. But of course, Denmark Street's been kind of getting smaller over the last few years. Shops have been shutting down and moving out. There's still certainly a presence there, but there are less shops there now, sadly, than there used to be. Yes. But sorry, I thought someone would chip in with that. I thought you were in full flow.
Yeah, I thought you were in full flow, and then you sort of stopped. Yeah. And I was like, has he cut out? I don't know. I will pip in then and say, Pippin. it is a little depressing now. It's a shame, really, because there was so much there, and there's, like you say, there's still some great shops there and some new ones, but also a lot of Starbucks and Pret, which it's just such a different place to when I first went there when I was 14, and Soho Soundhouse is on the corner. It's like three floors. That's where I bought my Line 6 FM4, the most I'd ever spent on a guitar pedal. And you obviously lost Macari's from that street earlier on in the year. But there are still some there, and there's still some cool finds, including No Tom guitars for vintage stuff. And Hanks is still there. I think Hanks has been there since like 1959.
Amazing.
And they've normally got like a 58 or a 59 hanging up on the wall. So that's always pretty cool. And friend of the podcast, Yogi, is constantly there. You know, he basically lives on Denmark Street. In fact, I'm pretty sure he works round the corner. So he, you know, he's keeping the group up to date with what's happening on Denmark Street, because he's always taking pictures of the fancy guitars that he sees. But yeah, still a very, very cool place, despite mass building works in the area that seem to have been going on forever.
They do feel like they've been going on forever. But anyway, yeah, so we've Ashdown have got this pop-up shop that we're going to be opening between the 11th and the 16th of October. So we're bringing down all our guitar amps, our bass amps, our basses, some of our pedals, some stuff actually that we're not even releasing until next year. We're going to have there for people to try out to sort of gauge opinions. And we're going to have all our meters, headphones as well. There's going to be loads of demo stations. We're going to have like we've hired like a barista. So there's going to be like coffee, and you can have a coffee. We've even got a drum kit that's going to be permanently set up there. So, you know, if you want to bring a drummer and come down and have a jam, you can do that as well. But yeah, that's just going to be open all week, and I'm going to be there hanging out, drinking the coffee. Of course, Ashdown do also make their own beer. So, you know, we'll be drinking that as well all week. And on Thursday, we're going to have like a really special day. There's going to be like press coming down. So, you know, if you want to pick a day, I'd say come on the Thursday, because there's going to be some cool artist appearances on the Thursday. And yeah, I'm hoping, you know, to see the Guitar Nerds guys come down. It'd be lovely for us to actually get to hang out with guitar. There'll be a drum kit there. We could make a band. We could make a Guitar Nerds band.
That sounds awful.
It sounds really bad. Also, you've sort of forgotten there the fact that like me and Matt have actual jobs. Like, you right. know, we can't just right. go spawning about in the middle of the week, mate.
Right. Right.
And also, like, you know, we don't really like hanging out with you. So
of course. There'll be champagne. We got some champagne in for the Thursday.
Right, okay.
Nice.
Can you sway it for you?
Can you just send me a bottle and I'll drink it at home?
Ashdown champagne.
I could. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not Ashdown champagne. It's Ashdown beer. Well, we should look into opening some sort of vineyard, though, I think. That could be the next progression of Ashdown. I'm up for that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
There we go. Joe, I can't believe you're like managing to completely combine your two interests so minutely. It's absolutely incredible.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful. I really enjoyed the day that I went down to Ashdown when they were just setting up the beer, and so they'd got like tasters of all the different things, and they were like, hey Joe, you know, you're gonna be marketing this stuff, do you want to test all of these out? And I was like, yeah, yes I do. And so I was able to get like three little bottles of each of the flavors, and oh, flavors. It was great. Yeah, I nearly missed my train home. It was wonderful, but yeah, it's good stuff.
I can just imagine the next board meeting. You're there with your proposal for where the new gin distillery is going to be.
Oh, that is actually genuinely something we're talking about.
Great, okay. Is that something you should be telling the world?
It's fine, whatever. No, you know, what's someone going to do? Buy a gin distillery first? No, we're going to be... Okay. It's going to be amazing.
Okay, then.
I'm in charge of all the embargo, so it doesn't matter what I say.
I am the embargo.
I am the embargo. Anyway. enough about booze and stuff. I hope to see you there, dear listener, if you're nearby. I appreciate it. You know, it's comparative to our listenership, a small amount of people will actually be able to go, but it'd be lovely to see you there, and we'll sort of
even fewer will want to.
Exactly. But we should talk about some of the news from this week as well, because you know, Matt Knight Boss continuing their torrent of new releases this year, expanding the 200 series, which I think is my favorite series by Boss. I love the 200 pedals. They're compact enough that they don't take up too much room, because you've thought about, you know, the jack placement on them. All the pedals that have been released in the range so far are absolutely fantastic, super versatile, like feature packed, like, you know, the MIDI capability of all of them. And just, I feel like you're getting, you know, they are wonderful. I don't, like, the 500 pedals were brilliant, but they're expensive and big. And the 200s seem to kind of offer everything I could possibly want from a pedal, and you've expanded that range even further with both the SY200, which I think is probably the one people were most excited about, expanding on the SY1, but also the IR200, taking on the Strymon Iridium.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, SY200, like you say, the 200 series is that kind of balance between compact, easy to use pedal, but gives you more features and really presets. Basically, when we released the SY1, people went, you know what, it sounds so good, I need to buy more than one because I can't save any sounds in it. And yeah, there was a few people out there had got like two or three on a pedal board, and just like, can't you just put presets on a compact? And we're like, well, we could probably do like one better, because we've got the SY300, which is like super, super powerful, but it's also really, really complex. SY1, super easy to use, had a bunch of great sounds that's quick to dial in. And so we were just like, well, let's do a 200 series. So you've got 128 presets, you've got all the same sounds plus more of the SY1, but we'll also add a nice little screen so you can see what you're doing and stuff as well. So really, it's a slightly improved sound engine from the SY1 as well. It's a more powerful processor than the SY1, but gives you a bunch of great sounds, loads of presets, and then the control button on there can be used for like hold function or pitch function. And yeah, you don't need any special pickups. You can just plug your guitar straight in and away you go. Somehow, I don't even know how, runs on batteries. I'm just like, that, you know, that always, they're like, oh yeah, it also runs on batteries. I'm like, wow, that, I mean, that is impressive. Three AA batteries.
All of the 200s do that.
Apart from the IR200 does not. Slightly too powerful for batteries. But yeah, the SY200 is really the perfect step up from someone who's got the SY1 and wants a bit more. Or, yeah, looked at the SY1 and went, haven't got MIDI and I can't save presets.
Yeah, I was going to say, there wasn't MIDI capability then on the SY1?
No, the only compact with MIDI is the RC5. Everything now runs on the mini jacks, the TRS jacks. But yeah, we kind of just went, we'll just give you a bit more. So there's like a dual mode on there, which runs two oscillators at once. It's got basically polyphonic pitch shifting in it, so you can do a bunch of different pitch shifting stuff with the control pedal, and then you can integrate it into your pedal board by using the effects loop, which now runs both parallel or series as well. So you can run your whole pedal board through it and then say whether you want things to come before, whether you want the synth to be before or after it. So it's great for delays and reverbs, or even running drive pedals through it. And yeah, the MIDI capability, obviously lots of people running switches, so being able to have presets is obviously the big thing with that. So really, that was the biggest thing. People said, we just want presets, so we were like, here you go. And then the IR200, this is the one that I guess there's a rising trend in this type of pedal, really dominated by the Strymon Iridium, which is lots of people not using amps at all. And we were talking earlier about the metal people using plugins and computers a lot more, and there's just a lot of people, especially in the US where you've got like this huge worship scene, and you've just got a lot of ambient guitar players who's just like, don't really need an amp, I'll just do everything on the pedal board and then I'll just run straight out into a PA. And yeah, Strymon have, you know, done really well with the Iridium. It's been an incredible pedal, and it does sound really good. Walrus had the ACS-1 from their Mako series. And then you've obviously got things like the Moor IR cab, which is more of a just the cab simulator. This actually models the preamp, the amp, the speaker, and the microphones. Now, the big difference compared to some of the other ones on the market is that we've added more amp models. So something like the Strymon really focuses on like a Vox and a Fender. This has 8 amp models and 3 bass models. So you can use this as your, think of this as your modern day Tech 21 Sans amp, because it's got bass models in it. So you can run your whole pedal board into that and then straight out into a PA. You've got 3 different bass amps and then different bass cabs with different microphones. You've also got USB, so you can use it for recording, which I think is amazing. So you can have your whole pedal board USB out into your computer, and you can use it for things like reamping and recording, which is really nice. Headphone out, which they all have, but it's just nice to be able to have the same sound at home through headphones in the studio.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's a massive advantage of moving towards this sort of
thing. Then going out live. One thing I really liked with this, and having played around with it a bit, was that you can run 2 cabs at once. So you can have a 4x12 and a 1x12. And then live, you can still run into an amp and also run out into the PA.
I was going to ask about that, because I imagine that's almost more likely.
Yeah, so
doubling up.
Yeah.
So someone like Johnny Mars using a GT1000 Core live at the moment, and he's still running one output into a Fender on stage. So he's got some on-stage amp volume and presence, and then runs stereo out into the PA. So the audience hears one thing, and they get a mix of some of the guitar amp on stage, but he's hearing a lot of the guitar amp on stage, which I thought was really cool. That's a really nice thing to be able to do, to take your pedal board, still plug into an amp. You know, you might turn up to the venue and go, oh, they've got a half decent backline, I'll plug into that, and still go into the PA. But being able to run separate cabs out of each output, so you can run 2 different 412s with 2 different mic settings if you want. And then there's a really cool feature on there called spread, which delays the 2 cabs very slightly, so it kind of like widens the output a little bit more. But yeah, just a really versatile amp in a box, a real amp in a box. And the fact that we've added the same screen that's on the SY200 means that you can see everything you're doing. There's no menu deep diving. All the controls are on the top panel. And there's like 150 different cabinet and microphone models in there. So there's loads to choose from. But for recording at home, it's a really, really good little setup.
Yeah, I mean, definitely for recording at home, this is a great setup. For me, as a live tool, this really hits the nail on the head, because, you know, I was messing around with the GT1000 Core as well as having that as something I'd use live, where one output's going into my amp, the other output is going into the front of house with a cab sim. And the thing I always find that I end up worrying about whenever I make myself these complicated setups are when I actually get into a rehearsal space, let alone a gig, and it's a different rehearsal room from last time, and it sounds different, and I want to change stuff. And as soon as you're on something like the Core or any, you know, any big multi-effects thing, you are going into menus and you're trying to find the thing that you need to change. And that's not productive. And it's doubly not productive if you're at a gig and you're trying to work out what bit you need to change. So having something like this, where it is incredibly intuitive, you're doing a lot, there's a lot of processing there, but I've still essentially got all my controls as physical rotaries in front of me that I can change on the fly, including the cab and the amp are just on rotaries on the front of the pedal. That is much, much more useful and much easier to actually deal with in a situation.
And you know, the amp models go from sort of like a JC120 all the way up to kind of like a Bogner and some of the more high gain stuff, which isn't covered by some of the other ones out there, tend to be a little bit more like vintage. So this is good for some of your sort of high gain kids who want to do a bit more of that rock and roll. So, yeah, no, really great. And I've been using it quite a lot. One of the guys on my team's been using it with a GT1000, so GT1000 core and this, and then disabling the amp models in the GT1000 core, because this has got more amp models, more cabs. Yeah, using the kind of GT as the kind of effect side, and then this is the amp side. And because they're MIDI controlled, you can switch them at the same time as well. So really, really cool. Wow. Yeah, and the headphones got like a surround function on it, which basically like takes the speaker sound a little bit away from the headphone, the actual like speakers, your ears. So
similar to what in is the yeah, Wazer Air.
Similar to what's in the Wazer Air. So it just feels like the amp's more well placed in a room rather than being like blasted directly into your eardrums. But yeah, super easy to set up because you've got one control for amp, one control for cabinet, and one control for ambience, which is the type of room that you're in. And then you've got your preamp controls just like an amplifier underneath. And that's it. Super easy. But loads of different ways you can set it up. And yeah, interested to get you one, Joe, and do some stuff with bass. I think it'd be really cool to try and use it as a little bass DI, I think.
Yeah, could definitely be a fantastic solution. You know, just to be able to get a bit more control of that. You know, I won't go into too much detail on it, but as a bass player, so like wanting to do that sort of thing and actually sort of split going to an amp and then having stuff going to front of house, if you want control in the way I've specified, like rotary bass control, you're pretty limited on the products out there. So the tonality, you're basically, what you're looking at is getting yourself one of the Sansamp VTs, which means what you have is Ampeg voicing.
Mm.
And if you don't like Ampeg voicing, you know, it's tricky.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to sort of tailor that pedal to the sort of tone you want. So yeah, I think this is very exciting, you know, and great that bassists and guitarists have been included on it.
Yeah, yeah. So, couple of really, really cool releases. I mean, the SY200, I've started to build onto a little pedal board already. So
of course.
Got to build it into the ambient board. And there's some cool videos coming out that we're sort of working on with a few people. But yeah, 171 sounds, including a set of noise sounds, which are like wind, you know. So you can add in a bit of that.
Any tractors? We
haven't gone full Magic Stomp. But
I was really hoping, I've been really craving that Combine Harvester.
I know.
Combine Harvester tone.
I still,
you know,
want to buy one. One day I will get my hands on a Magic Stomp and put it on my pedal board just for that tractor tone.
Morris Dancer Ambience.
What's that?
I said Morris Dancer Ambience.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, exactly. I reckon the Magic Stomp into a Miku and you're just absolutely laughing, you know?
That's it. That's the ultimate solution.
I mean, literally, you're laughing, because if you don't, what are you going to do? You'll cry.
Exactly. Now, that actually is all the time we have on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds for an entire extra episode every week. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At the dollar tier, you'll get this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 gets you access to the Patreon special and our entire back catalogue. And $10 will get you the lot, plus I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. Find us on all your favorite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Bye.
Cheers. Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.